This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
My Bible. Come on, say it like you mean.
This is my Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
Amen.
All right, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3, 2 and 3 is our foundational text. We've been teaching from this subject the power of affectionate giving. The power of affectionate giving. And the whole objective of this particular lesson is to prepare our hearts for the day of giving that we're going to have here at our church, where we'll give our first fruit impact offering for our vision for this year. Verse 3 says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." Here is David stating his incredible gift that he's giving, and we have used this as the pattern for our giving. It was a prepared gift, it was a public gift, and it was a proper gift. And so we taught on this for the last several weeks. This may be our last lesson. All depends on whether I get caught up on a point or not. Won't be your fault, you know, but, you know, like I said, in the last session, I thought I was going to get finished, but I didn't. But we'll see what we can do. Now, David is affectionate. He's affectionate about this giving, and we found out that from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, that we have the ability to set our affection. We can get excited, and we can get enthused over what we desire to be enthused over. And then we found out in verse 23 of Colossians chapter 3 that it is the will of God for us to be excited about kingdom matters. God wants us excited about kingdom matters because there's something contagious about excitement, something contagious about us being affectionate and emotional about things of God. Amen. Just think about it. As I said, you know, I didn't grow up in the nightclub. I didn't grow up going to nightclubs. It's like some of y'all did, you know, and I'm not putting y'all down or anything like that. But, you know, I was a boy preacher, so I only been in a nightclub once in my whole life. And that was in the daytime. I had to go use the phone. Yeah, that's the only time I've ever been in a nightclub. Some of my friends, you know, told me that, you know, if there's a club that wasn't nothing happening, you know, everything was drab, you know, you walk in there, you turn around and walk out, there was no excitement going on, right? Okay, we got a whole lot of people been, you know, never been. How many of y'all been to a nightclub? Come on, own up. Okay, well, now what y'all trying to front me out like y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, now, you know good and well you don't want to go to something that's dead, drab, no life, right? You want parties that were alive. Come on, right? God ain't gonna get you. You out of the club. Now you in church. You in the Lord's house now. You know, you all right. You've been delivered. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna go on. I ain't gonna even get on that point. That wasn't even. But the whole point is that you didn't want to be around anything that did not have life in it. So it is sinners when they come to the church. They ought to come to God's house and see folk, you know, looking like they've been baptized in pickle juice. We should exhibit, and we should be exuberant about the things of God. I'm excited to be a Christian. I am. I'm excited. I really am. I'm telling you, I'm excited about the Lord, excited about the work. Even in the middle of when I was in the middle of faith fights, because faith fights, you know, that they just kind of toughen you up. But I'm never even down in the middle of a faith fight, because I know if I just hang in there, I'm gonna win it. Amen. So we can be affectionate about that which we choose to be affectionate about. And so we found out several things from our last time that there is a type of giving that we can be affectionate about called the first fruit offering. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. It's a tremendous gift. As we taught on last week, it's an affectionate gift. It holds the promise of tremendous blessing for us as well. It's a gift whereby we honor the Lord. All right. The reason we teach on this at this time of year is so that we will have faith to give, because faith comes by what? hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with what? With new wine. So I understand now, if I will honor the Lord, some things will happen for me, and those things are exciting. Now, God is looking for those who will give with this level of excitement and enthusiasm. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. So God cares about how we give. He cares about what we give, but he cares about how we give it. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the what? God loveth the what? He loveth a cheerful giver. All right. Now, just put your ribbon here because I may kind of work on this a little bit more. But God loves a cheerful giver. The Amplifier says it this way concerning the cheerful giving portion of this scripture. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. So God's looking for us to have our heart in our giving. Amen. Now, if we will have our hearts in our giving, and if we will be this kind of giver, the Bible says he will give seed to the sower. He gives seed. Everybody say seed.
Seed.
Yeah, he gives seed. If you really want to become a giver, I'm a living witness of this. If you really become passionate about this part of the plan of God, and if you really want to, he'll give seed to the sower. And there it is in verse 10. It says, for he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And increases the fruit of your righteousness. So I can see here that God is looking for people that he can flow through in the body of Christ. Amen. So we all say we want to be a blessing. Want to be a blessing. Bless me so I can be a blessing. Well, the true test of that is what you have with what you have in your hand right now. Now, we said that David was excited about giving. And I believe that the same excitement points that he was excited about are points that we can be excited about in our giving now. Number one, we said that David was affectionate about his giving because he had the proper perspective on his prosperity. The perspective on his prosperity. All he had came from God, and he understood his responsibility to give back. And so I think when we look at our prosperity, wherever you are today, you're there because God has blessed you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Your job may not be all you want it to be, but thank God you got a job. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen? And it can be better. Look at the person next to you. It can be better. It can be better. Yeah, yeah, and I'm in agreement with you for it to become better. But thank God that you have a job. Thank God you have a paycheck. Thank God. Amen? Whole lot of folk wish they had your problem. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't have to drive so far to work. There's a whole lot of folk wish they had that problem. They wish they had somewhere to drive. Amen, amen. All right, so he had the proper perspective on his prosperity. Number two, we said he was passionate because and excited because he was passionate about his posterity. His posterity. By posterity now, we're talking about the future generation. I don't want us to always think posterity has to do with the physical generation after us, but what about the spiritual generation that we're passing the baton to? We need to be excited about the spiritual generation. There are so many other churches now that look to us. Amen. Amen. And so many other Christians who are just being born again, they may be chronologically more older than we are, but they are really next generation, as it were. Then he was excited about his giving because he understood the possibilities of provisions. He understood that if you got some, if you can do more, I like to say it like this, you can do more when you got more to work with. Amen. You can do more in the body of Christ. You cannot win a generation like our generation with a nickel and dime budget. Everything costs so very much. Everything costs so very much. Amen. And it's only when the kingdom of God has the resources that we can make the impact we need to make.
Amen.
Amen. Now, of course, now this is I'm just going to put this in. You know, last year's budget for Spiritual Encounter, where all those kids come here, and we had about almost 6,000 kids here. That budget was like $100,000, wasn't it? Wasn't it like $100,000? Yeah. Well, you know, leave it to Pastor Lewis. It's going to be more than that today, this year, because every year it goes up. See, and she just tells me the price of everything else is going up. You got it? But that's okay. We have a goal. We want to reach people, want to reach the young people, and we know we can't do it, you know, with a $59.99 budget. Amen. Get a couple of balloons and hang them up. They ain't coming from the same old balloon. Amen. So we understand that. Are you listening to me? Amen. You can do more. So the kingdom of God has to understand. If we're going to be effective in the kingdom of God, we have to understand that it takes money to do what we need to do. And we're talking about, you know, giving these ministry CDs to those who have been in recent combat. Well, you know, that takes money to do that. Amen. Amen. It takes money to do it because we're going to do it right. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the final reason was because David had, I like to say it this way, he looked at the potential of the people. He understood that something supernatural happens when you give. Amen. Boy, now that's why I got stopped this morning. And if I just can keep going, I won't get stopped. You understand? I'm going to make a few comments, and then I'm going to move on. Just a few comments. Okay. Now, I think this is probably one of the most misunderstood areas in the body of Christ when it comes to giving. Most people think that giving is designed to meet church budgets. No. Giving is designed to bless you. No. Well, there are so many other things pertaining to quality of life that can only occur as you give. And I ain't talking about money, but there's so many other things. All right, right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 10. I read it before, we're going to read it again, because you understand there's so many other things. And I see people having the wrong motive in it. Preachers, a lot of preachers too, they have the wrong motive in it. They need the revelation. People don't give to meet the budget at the church. So what happens if the church don't have a budget? I had one guy said to me one day, he said, man, I look forward to the day when we won't have to receive offerings. I said, it won't happen. No, it won't happen because the order of God is that people get blessed when they give.
Amen.
All right, look there in verse 10. It says, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown. Watch this. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, that ain't got nothing to do with money. Increasing the fruits of your righteousness has nothing to do with money. Now, go to Galatians. Put your finger here, thumb here, and go to Galatians chapter 5. You understand? These are quality things that he says will increase in your life as a result of your giving. That has nothing to do with money, but have everything to do with quality of life. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. All right? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He says these things increase in my life as a result of my giving. See, you got to understand that my giving does more for me than it does for a budget. And most people miss the whole point of this. I see people all the time missing the whole point of it. All right, watch this. Turn with me your Bibles. I ain't going to get off. I'm going to stay right on talking. Philippians chapter 4. Amen. So the church has to maintain its proper focus when it comes to giving. That people have to give. You have to give. No. It's designed in the plan of God. That you have to. I have to be a giver because that's the plan of God for my life. All right. So Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 concerning this aspect, and I mean you have to keep your focus on. If you don't keep your focus, boy, you'll think that all giving does is to meet a budget. All right, I'll look there. I'll start there in verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you've done well that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Look what he says here. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account.
Amen.
Do you see that? See, for instance, and I'm saying this, and I'm not saying this for you to give me a dime. And I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. But my spiritual father, Dr. Price, pastors an incredible church. Crenshaw's been around a long time, has given birth to so many ministries all over the country. Amen. And I give to him on a regular basis. Now, he don't need my gift. He does not need my gifts. I need the fruit that abounds as a result of my giving. Yeah. See, y'all gonna work my heart. I wanted to hit the point and move on, but y'all causing me to work hard, see. But I'm gonna stay here because you gotta get this, see. See, he has to take my money. I need him to take my money. Not because he, let me tell you, the man, he been rolling for a long time. He was rolling, what I mean rolling, I mean, he was already prosperous when I met him. You understand? He's prosperous when I met him. But there's a principle in the scripture, fruit abounds to my account when I sow into him. I need him to take my money. It ain't got nothing about whether he need his light bill paid or whether he need a car note paid. It has nothing to do with that. And you got to get beyond that. Yeah, amen. Amen, amen, amen. It's the order of God. Amen. Amen. And then, you know, don't want to go there. But I'm about to go there. Preachers got to quit being ashamed that the Lord made them rich. Amen. You just got to quit being ashamed of it. Amen. And I want them to get some backbone. When you get on television, you don't have to deny that you got rich from the kingdom. Yeah. Well, I got this business over here. And that. Oh, forget all that. Amen. Those businesses didn't do it without the platform the gospel gave you. Amen. Come on, let's just go and tell it. Yeah, I'll tell it. Amen. I'm like Abraham. Abraham said, I won't ever let anybody else say that they made me rich. The Lord made me rich. Okay. I'm about to go off. But I'm going to stay on target. But you got to understand the point. The point is see, giving benefits me. Hey, amen. I got that revelation when I was in the Baptist church. Really? Because my pastor, he didn't have a revelation. When I went to give him the first $5, he didn't want to take it. He said, oh, I can't take this from you. I know what you're going through. I said, Pastor, this ain't even about you. I found a principle in this Bible. I need you to take my money. Now, see, when you get it that way, some of y'all got it, some of y'all look at me like I'm from Mars. That's quite all right. Amen. That's giving goes to a whole nother level when you understand this is a spiritual thing. Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to move on. All right. Whew. Now, turn to Luke chapter 14. Here's what we're going to talk about today, since we've gotten that out the way, the potential of the people. Man, I'm excited about what's going to happen to your life. What you're entitled to once you sow. What God promises you. How he commits to you, how he's going to bless you. Amen. And I don't have to play God for you. Okay. I'm finna go down another line here. I don't have to play God for you by trying to get you connected in any kind of, you know, multi-level things. I don't have to do that. Because I never promised I'm going to bless you.
Amen.
God promised you he going to bless you. Amen. And he already knows how he's going to bring it to pass. My job is to teach you how to harvest how to harvest based on the seed you sown. And that's what we're going to talk about today, rest of the way, how to harvest. You know, how to be prepared for our harvest. Because we got to be prepared. Everybody say, got to prepare for harvest. Yeah. Now, last week we talked about preparation. And we said, I have to prepare my head. I have to prepare my heart, I have to prepare my hands, and I have to also prepare to harvest. Now we prepare my head with a understanding of the scripture. Amen. I prepare my heart for an unusual sacrifice. I prepare my hands for unwavering sowing. And I prepare for a harvest that's unlimited in its supply. Oh my God. Glory to God. Shout all by myself. That's all right. That's right. Now, so let's talk about preparing, because in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, it talks about us being prepared. And the Bible is clear here that we ought to prepare for our giving and as well as prepare for harvesting. And this is what I believe the body of Christ has not been taught. I know I never was taught how to harvest. I was just taught to give and just thinking that kind of harvest would happen automatically, but that's not the case. Verse 28 says, which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? That's happily after he laid the foundation, not able to finish it. All that beholder began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. So the Bible talks about long range planning, making a plan. Everybody say, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. So when it comes to preparing for giving, it's a personal matter. Everybody say it's personal. All right, it's a personal matter because I have to make a decision as a believer that I'm going to live according to God's order. So I can be saved, be in church, but still hold on to the world's order. The world's order is get all you can all you get, set on the lid, poison the rest. God's plan is give and it shall be given unto you. It's a personal decision I have to make that I'm going to live according to God's order. I made a choice one day that I would live a supernatural life. In order to live that supernatural life, I have to live a life based on scriptural principles. So it's a personal matter. Number two, it's a provisional matter. It is a matter of me deciding and me planning the resources that I have, how I'm going to use the resources, how I'm going to invest the resources that I have. Amen. Now, these principles I'm giving you now will work across the board, whether you're planning for marriage, whether you're planning for giving, whether you're planning in any area of your life. It's our first invest. It's personal. Then it's provision. What resources are going to be required of me? Amen. Because once I do that, I make this adjustment in my thinking. So I decided I'd be a tither. So I made the adjustment in my thinking that whatever I get, only 90% of it belongs to me. See, that's an adjustment I've already made in my thinking. Only 90% of what I have belongs to me. The other 10%, God has laid hold on it by his lordship over my life. So not only is it personal and it's provisional, but it's a planning matter. Everybody say planning. Plan. Now, that is the skillful arrangements of events to accomplish a task. So then I have to decide, for instance, if I'm making a decision and I'm preparing for marriage, I understand, okay, I'm going to have to arrange my life so I can be married.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Well, if I'm going to be a giver, I have to arrange my life so that I can be a giver. So that means some things that I might want to do, I can't do because I don't know what God wants me to do with this money.
Amen.
I can't get extra money and just do what I want to do. I have to seek the Lord.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. It's a matter of pitfalls. Everybody say pitfalls. See, when I'm planning, I also look ahead to see what are the pitfalls that could lie ahead that would keep me from accomplishing my task. Because I want to think through the going through the pitfalls. And one pitfall when you become a giver is persecution. That's persecution. Folks saying, man, you are crazy. I can tell you they told me I was crazy. Because why are you sending your money to California? That was a preacher used to tell me. Why are you sending your money to California? I say, man, that's my father in the faith, and the Bible says, if you receive from a man, you show into him. That's what the Bible, the grace on his life is on my life, coming on my life. And they laugh at me. They're not laughing anymore. Persecution that comes from others, and then the vain imaginations that the devil throw in your mind. I remember one time I gave a real Lord seed, and boy, after I gave that seed, the devil parked right here on my shoulder and called me a fool the whole night while I sat in church. You fool, you. Ooh, you fool. These thoughts just racing through my mind. You gave your house note away. Ooh, you are a fool. What you gonna do at closing? What you gonna do at closing? Because I had raised my hand to meet the budget at a big meeting, and for me to meet the budget, I was going to have to go in my savings. I'm not telling anybody else to do it. I'm just telling what I've done, you see. But that pitfall, understanding that the devil will always try to talk you out of your harvest. And that requires the perseverance matter, the stamina needed to hold your course. that stamina that I need to hold my course and to complete my course. And you do all that up front. See, you decide up front. That's why I don't like to have pep rallies when people give. People need to be taught the word of God because you need to give without emotions. Because when you can give without emotion and nobody's promised you then tomorrow in the mailbox gonna be a check, then you're not disappointed if in the morning ain't no check. Because he said, 100% said, stay with him. Because the word of God promises that in, after many days it comes back. Cast your bread on the water after many days. It may take some time, but it must come back. See? So when I sow with this kind of conscience, I'm already prepared for my harvest. Because I understand this is not magic. This is not drop a dime, find a dollar. This is not magic. This is a spiritual process that I am prepared for. Amen. Like I said, this kind of preparation goes into anything you do. When we decided to start the church 20 years ago, I made a decision. It's a personal matter. I'm committing this way. I'm leaving the denomination I was in. I don't tell everybody else to do it. This is what God told me. I'm leaving it and I'm focused this way. Provisions. All I have going into this thing. Sink or swim, I plan to swim, but I'm putting everything I got into this thing. And God gave me a plan. I'm amazed that folks say God told them to do something, don't have a plan. That's contrary to scripture. Whenever God gives you, it's amazing. Ain't bother. But God gives a plan. God gives a sign, he gives a plan. So God gave me a plan. He told me what to do. I knew I was supposed to stay on Jensen. I was supposed to have a location in the north and the south. I knew that much of the plan. Amen. And he met my needs. I understood the pitfall. Pitfalls, I was going to lose all my friends. Because they couldn't handle that. I didn't have a name outside of my church wasn't Baptist anymore. I knew I was going to lose all my friends. That's right. And it wasn't no problem. Me and Bridget just became closer friends. Amen. And I knew I would have to persevere because I knew everybody who say I'm with you, they not with you. Because when I made the announcement, 92% of my members left in one day. No, you don't understand that. 92% of the folk walked off in one day. That's why I'm never intimidated by somebody walking off. Never. If God don't walk off, and he won't, I'm going to always make it. Amen. That's just it. See, but I was already prepared. I'm prepared now. People come and say, I'm with you for life. Oh, the Lord called me. I just look at them. Okay. Because there's an offense with your name on it that will try what you just said. Amen. That's an offense. You say God called you here. I'm learning so much of the word. Okay. But there's an offense. There's somebody going to tell you something one day. There's somebody going to do something to you one day that's going to try that statement of commitment and loyalty that you make. And what you do at that time proves who you are. But as far as I'm concerned, it's up to you because I made a decision. I'm going through. If I was a Baptist preacher, I could close right here. You understand? I'm going through. Whatsoever do others do. Okay. Now, turn with your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Prepare our heads with understanding the scripture. We found out what I understand. Nobody can take from me. Prepare my hearts for an unusual sacrifice. And here's how I prepare my heart to give. I prepare my heart with saturation from the word. I said Ecclesiastes chapter 11. That's where I want you to go. I have to saturate my heart with the word because only when I saturate my heart with the word will I have faith to go above and beyond what I thought I was going to do. Now that's in any area. To make a sacrifice in marriage, I have to saturate my heart with the word of God, especially when you're going through tough times. Boy, you have to saturate your heart with the word of God. This is what the Lord said. Lord, don't give you out of this marriage because she didn't cook. The Lord don't give you out of this marriage. You follow me? I mean, but you have to, y'all looking at me strange, but you have to saturate your heart with the mind. See, you are stronger today because you've saturated your heart with the mind. You're able to make sacrifices, go above and beyond the behavior you thought you were able to do because you've been saturated with the word. Look, A couple of years ago, there was some folk who do what they do to you now. You've been accustomed to them. I draw your gun on them or cut them or all of the above. Come on, right? But the difference is you've been saturated with the word of God. So even when that stuff arises, your heart has been fixed. Because out of the heart flows the issues of life. Some of y'all don't bring your guns to church anymore. No, I'm telling the truth. Because your heart's been saturated with the word of God. Amen. You quit your girlfriends, your boyfriends. Nobody's creeping at night. You understand? Why? Because your heart got saturated with the word. That's all I'm trying to say, is I prepare my heart by saturating it with the word of God. Not just one scripture here and there, but you sit in a place where you don't get taught out of the way. I'm not just going to give you some little nice exhortation. You all right and I'm all right and she's all right. No, I'm going to take you through that word. I'm going to put that word of God in you, because only the word of God is going to produce results in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. Now, I prepare my head. Understanding scripture. I prepare my heart, saturation. Got it? So I can make unusual sacrifice. I prepare my hands. Now, in the Bible, the hands are symbolic of action. Because no matter how much revelation you have, unless you're willing to act on the word of God, you get no results. You don't qualify for a harvest. There's so many people, boy, I tell you, there's so many people have revelation. A lot of preachers got incredible revelation and can teach giving and can teach faith, but they don't give. And in my big meetings, I tell them, brother, he wonder why his church ain't getting off, why his church won't get off the ground, and why he don't have this, and why. I said, okay, let's check your giving. Number one, are you a tither? You'd be surprised at how many pastors drop their head. Well, you know, I'm working on it, Doc. Well, what you mean you working on it, Doc? Oh, you listen to me. It ain't about the revelation. It ain't about how you know the Greek, the Hebrew, and all that. It's about being a doer of the word. And you have to decide one day that I'm going to do this. Look, person, I say, do it. Come on, do it. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Are you there? Now look at verse 4. See, if I wait for optimum conditions, I'll never start. If I'm waiting for optimum conditions, the scripture says I'll never start. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Verse 6 says, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So he's talking about becoming a consistent giver. And I can't wait for optimum conditions. You have to start right where you are. You don't be intimidated by anybody else's gift. You have to start right where you are. And that some of y'all wouldn't even fill out the players card because you couldn't do 1,000. And you stretch your faith as much as you can, and you put your mount on the players card, and you let God, you know that's a stretch for me.
Yeah. Good, Pastor.
Because you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere and become a doer. Everybody say do it.
Do it.
All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It is when I become a sower on a continuous basis that I am ready for harvest. I got to be a sower, not just one time. I got to just become a sower. He gives seed to the sower. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look what God tells the church here. Verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Amen. So God says, look, you got to start where you are. You got to do what you can with what you have. And he says, it's going to be accepted the same way. I'm going to give my 50,000. You follow me? Well, you may not have 50,000. That's all right. Oh, you listen to me. Look, Your $100 is just as God looks at your $100 that you had to stretch to give. He looks at that at the same way. But the point is, you have to choose to start. Now then, there's another level. See, I can make up my mind, but if I don't watch my hand will choke. Amen. You fill out one thing on that card, and boy, when you get ready to give that, especially some of y'all got to get first time $1,000 givers. Boy, I am praying for you. Because, brother, until you release it, I'm telling you, you'll come to that mic and that $1,000 be on your mind. And they, you know, the lights are on you, and everybody looking at you. $300. Look at the person, don't choke. Now you gotta follow through. Even when it stretches you, you gotta follow through. God always shows up when sacrifice has been made, amen? Okay, now, we talked last week on seven blessings or entitlements that occur when I give a first fruit offering. Now, when I give a first fruit offering, seven blessings. Y'all remember them? Let's go over them real quick. I'm not going to go to the scripture, but just go over them, each one. Number one was the flow of abundance with the ability to store up and save. Number two, takes away the desire of my enemy to hurt me. That was in Exodus chapter 34, verses 23 through 26. The first one was found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. The third, he will expand my land holdings. I will acquire more real estate. Number four, he will drive out opposition to my increase. He'll make room for me at the top. That's what I like to say on that one. Number five, he will place his blessing on my household. Not only will I be blessed, but my whole house is going to be blessed. Number six, he will consecrate blessings and on the rest of my increase. In other words, what I have less, he's going to increase that even the more. You got it? And then the seventh blessing is really not for you, but it's a blessing that comes on the receiver, and that is the offering brings a supernatural supply to the kingdom. Now turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, because the promises of God are received by faith. The promises of God are received how? Come on, it's received how?
By faith.
So what I have to know is, after I'm prepared for the giving, I got to be prepared to receive. And that's where the church has fallen short. Because nobody teaches us the mechanics of receiving. Once I understood the mechanics of receiving, first of all, it answered a lot of questions why there were those in church who had been given and had not received. They didn't know how. Secondly, I understood that if I worked the principle, then I would be a harvester. I would get what God promised, without a doubt. Without a doubt, I had so much confidence. Man, I wish I could turn back the clock and let you go back and see me in my day when I was, you know, just coming to the Word, bold as a lion. Y'all think I just got bold since I got it? Shoot, bold as a lion when I was believing for it. I kind of mellowed down in my old age. Just as bold as a lion. I'm telling you, because I understood it. God can't lie to me. And if he says you do A, B, C, D, and he'll do this, he will do it. All you got to do is do your part. Boom, boom, boom. And he will do his part. So now Galatians chapter 3, let's look at this verse 14 for time's sake. It talks about the promises of God. All right, verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? How? Through faith. The promise of the Spirit is received by faith. And even though it's talking about a particular promise, the promise of the Spirit, it's a universal principle. All the promises of God are received by faith. I just need to know how to release my faith for what God's promised. Hush, person, I say, you don't want to miss these last 2 minutes. Come on, get this. Now. When I obey, then the promise on my obedience, I'm entitled to. I don't have it, but I'm entitled to it. So once I get my first fruit offering, I'm now entitled to these seven promises. Now I don't have them, but they are my right. In order for it to become mine, I have to use my faith to possess it. And I have to work the mechanics of faith in order to make a demand to receive my entitlements. Okay. All right. Mechanics of faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, 24, 25. Very short, we'll give you an overview and we'll teach it next week. Number one, I have to ask the Father in Jesus' name. So what I'll do is, since I know now, as a first fruit offering giver, I'm supposed to have real estate. I have a favor on my life to buy land, to acquire land. They can give it to me if they want to, you understand? I can pay an incredible, low price for it, but that's my right. That's what's on me.
Amen.
The grace of God is on me to, look, if you living in an apartment, you give your first fruit offering, you have a right. Now, God, I'm supposed to own some stuff. So I go, Father, in the name of Jesus, based on my first fruit offering, your word says that you'll cause me to increase in land. So Father, in the name of Jesus, now I receive the land. You know, if it's a particular house, I receive the house in Jesus' name. Now I want to thank you, Father, that because I'm standing in faith, you're going to give me wisdom. You're going to give me knowledge. You can work a miracle. You're going to cause me to give, you'll give me a plan of action. I receive my land in Jesus' name on the basis of my first fruit offering. Let's say you're in a fight, you're in a conflict, a fight. Father, your word says that you'll take the desire of my enemy away from hurting me. So on the basis of my first fruit offering, Father, I thank you that no weapon formed against me prospers. And I thank you that the enemy that's behind it, they will lose their desire to see me hurt. You see, I got to make a demand on it. Now that's what chapter 26 of Deuteronomy was all about. I taught you last week. We'll do it again next week when I teach you. They were taught to bring their first fruit offering, worship God, and then make a confession. That's why we make confessions after our giving, because we release our faith that way.
Amen.
So there's the asking. Secondly, there's the believing. Everybody say believing. Now I got to give you this and then I'm going to let you go. Whew. Believing is an act of your will. You can will to believe, you can will not to believe, right? All right. My believing is enhanced by what I see. When Abraham could see himself as father of nations, he believed. Genesis 15 and verse 7, 6 and 7. When Abraham, you got to get this. When Abraham saw himself as father of nations, he believed. Watch this. This one won't do. Your faith will produce what you require. You ain't get it yet. You got to marinate on that. You got to chew on that. Your faith will produce what you require. The reason you drove here today in a car and didn't drive up here on a bicycle is because you require a car. Hallelujah. Anybody happy but me? Listen. The reason you live where you live is because that's what you require. And when your requirement changed, your environment changed. Are you listening to me? The reason you have the kind of car you have is because that's what you require. Your faith will produce what you require, not what you admire and not what you desire. It will only produce what you require. And I raise my requirement based on what I see myself having on the canvas of my imagination on an ongoing basis. Y'all like that? Huh? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. See, some things you got to require. I require certain things, and my faith produces them. Amen. You want to get out of the hole you're living in? You got to require more. Well, how do that, Pastor? You got to see yourself with more. You got to hang around folk who got more. You got to understand more is possible for you. And what happens is your requirement level rises. And when your requirement level rises, your faith rises to produce it. Amen, 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 amen. So that brings it to the confession part. Now, this whole church is based on me making demand on first fruit. Now, remember now, a couple of years ago, we declared we was going to build it. Now, in order to do that, we got to have God's help. He got to give me wisdom. He got to give me knowledge. He's got to, you know, he's got to show me how to pull it to pass, bring it to pass, show me how to manage resources. All that kind of stuff's got to happen. So what I do is I go to God. Now, y'all gave first fruit, remember? Y'all was giving your first fruit. Now, the seventh promise is that it'll cause supernatural supply in the kingdom. So the reason I didn't come back and cry to y'all is because I got to believe that what was given will cause supernatural supply. Now, y'all who missed it last week, you just have to get the tape. Because I love you, I just tell you this much. A person brought a first fruit offering to the prophet. Prophet said, give it to the people. The guy said, it's not enough. He said, you're just going to do what I told you to do. They gave it to the people, and it multiplied. It did more than what the guy thought it was going to do. That's a promise to a first fruit church, is that what you give is going to have supernatural ability. So I walk through the church when we out, all this was concrete, you understand? I'm walking through here, you know, they already told me what the payroll was. Payroll several hundred thousand dollars. Over the $350,000 that we have every 2 weeks, you understand? And we already depleted the resources. And I'm a man of integrity, we got to pay the bills. So I got to walk through here and say, all right, Father, based on the first fruit offering that we give here at this church, your word says it'll cause supernatural supply. Your word says it'll do the supernatural. Now, Father, I trust you to do the supernatural. I'm making a demand based on my first fruit. I'm just like Hezekiah. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and said, all right, God, remember. And God turned this situation around. I'm telling you, when you learn to harvest this way, you don't care about folk laughing. But I had some times over here before y'all even got here. Before we even put all the chairs down, man, I had some Saturday services in here by myself. Walking up and down this place, talking to pews, talking to empty spaces. I call carpet over here. Yeah, I call chairs over here. I call the lights in here. Glory be to God. I'm just going on now. And God, now, I'm doing it on the basis of my first fruit seed. And little by little, step by step, hallelujah, glory to God, it came to pass. And we dedicated with, listen, I'm trying to tell you, you got to have a tenaciousness about you when it comes to harvesting on your first fruit offering. Yeah, I want you to walk down here and give your seed, but when you walk back to your seat, I want you to walk back being another person. I'm in line for some harvesting now. Yeah, you look at me next year, I'm not going to be like I am this year. Glory be to God. Okay, I'm out of time. I got to just stop. Whew. Y'all get blessed today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's walking. Please, nobody's moving. Please, nobody's walking, nobody's moving.